podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Here's the agenda for the podcast. My goal is to keep it around 40 minutes and keep it chock full of content. First, I'll lead with a quick introduction. Then, we'll give you the equipment check, where we talk about some piece of a technology or other collateral running stuff. Each show will be wrapped around a featured segment, where we interview someone interesting from our running world. I'll follow that with a quick tip derived from my centuries of running experience. We'll wrap it up with some music of our guest choosing from the PodSafe Music Network. Some things we're not going to do. I'm going to try to avoid recording myself while running. All that heavy breathing is just a little creepy for me. And there'll be no extended monologuing. I'm going to try to keep to the facts. If you want the emotional content, you can visit my blog, the Runnerati blog, at www.runrunlive.com. Please leave me an audio comment at, and you better write this down, or better yet, program the number into your cell phone, 206-339-7804, or send me an email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. And thanks for listening. Let me know what you think. Plus, you know, the more comments you leave, the less you have to listen to me talk. So, are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hey, this is Chris again. Welcome to episode 12. I think I may be having some volume problems here, but that's what I get for only spending $15 and all my equipment put together. So you'd laugh if you saw what I was doing this on. So today we got the second half of my interview with Jill, the massage therapist, and I think you're going to find that very interesting. So that's what we're going to get to. I think I got lined up for this week an interview with Dave Dunham, which will be cool. So stay tuned for that. I don't know. I got a really busy week coming up. Got to do some real work. Got to put some bread on the table. So I don't know if I'm going to be getting any more episodes out this week. But next weekend would be good. All right. So enjoy.
And now for the equipment check.
Hey, this is Chris. I'm going to put the microphone down here. Hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm having an issue with my shoes, my trail shoes, because I'm doing all my ultra training in the woods. So basically I'm wearing these shoes for, you know, 3-4 hours, a couple days a week out in the woods. And we've got a lot of rain, and I run through a lot of fields, so they're always wet. I mean, I'm running them wet, and they're just wet all the time. And it's been real humid, so they're not drying. I'm out in my front porch right now, or my back porch, I don't know, depending on your configuration. So, I came home the other night, and my wife had been cleaning, and she found a bottle of Odor Control All-Purpose Deodorant. Cool Peppermint Mist. And it says to, what does this say? This will be the ultimate test, because my trail shoes have developed an odor that is basically about a 10-meter no-walk zone around these things. So it says, the technically advanced formula of Sol Odor Control, well, that's kind of nice, a little alliteration there, encapsulates and blocks the natural odor produced by the oils and perspiration of the foot. Fast-acting formula will keep your shoe smelling fresh. Well, you know what? We're going to put it to the ultimate, or should we say the ultra test here. See what this stuff works or not. I'll let you know. We'll get a little cool peppermint mist in here, but they may be mistaken, because there's odor, and then there's what my shoes smell like. I'll let you know.
And now for our featured interview.
Well, I think that points to a good I think you have a good point there in the sense that when you go to get a massage, it's not just the massage therapist working on you. It's sort of a partnership. And
a
if you have to meet them halfway, and you have to understand what your body's doing, or else you won't get anything out of it. I mean, you'll get something out of it, but you'll have to go back in 3 days.
Right, exactly. It is really, it's really a partnership in your wellness, and that's the way I look at it. And another thing, I realized the other day, it's something that I've reminded my clients of, and they seem to appreciate this. If you can imagine, as you're about to receive your massage, breath work is very important. It really helps to helps you to relax, and you know, a few good deep breaths before the massage begins, and then throughout. And if you can imagine, you know, I'm working the outside of your body, on top of your skin. I'm working the quad, the hamstrings, you know, all the muscle groups in the course of the massage. With your breath, with your imagination, really, if you can focus your energy from the inside and meet me down at that lower calf, the thigh, wherever I'm working, you meet me with your intention. I'm working the outside, you work the inside. It's just a nice way to really consider that partnership.
Yeah, it sounds kind of new age there, Jill. I think we're talking about chi here.
Well, I do tend to lean more towards the structural integration style, the sports massage, the deep tissue work, the, you know, therapeutic, dealing with people's pain and their deeper layers of the muscle structures. But, you know, there is definitely a side. There's a nod to that side of the massage experience, and I honor that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, beyond the scented candles and the whale music, runners are absolutely understand the mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you can use, and if you don't, you should, the way you can use your mind to influence what your body's doing.
Absolutely.
And so it's clearly, you know, whether you want to mystify it or religiousize it or not, there's clearly a mind-body connection. That's one of the things I like about training and racing, is it allows me to strengthen that mind-body connection, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
So what's the most common question that you get asked?
Basically, when I work with my most vigorous athletes, the most common question is, you know, just, I mean, help me with my pain. I need to recover, and, you know, what can I do about? And a lot of times it is the muscle groups that we were just talking about here. And people come to me and they want, you know, they want help. So I try to just share the tidbits that I've picked up, my skills and training, and I'm always on the lookout for new research or new techniques that may be being developed in the industry, and certainly, you know, taking...
So what's new? What's new this year? What's the cutting edge?
Well, you know, again, it's... I've basically been having good success working with these different tools with my runners, and you know, again, the PNF stretching seems to work really well. You know, just all the things that we've already touched on. Another thing that I advocate strongly is I use an arnica oil for my massages, and that is a wonderful...
How do you spell that?
A-R-N-I-C-A.
Okay.
And it has anti-inflammatory properties.
Okay.
So it really does, it really works. It helps the tissues settle down and reduces inflammation, and that seems to work very well. A lot of my clients will pick up a bottle for themselves and work on that. I wouldn't do a whole full body massage with it. I use it in spots. You know, if somebody has a little swollen knee, a little inflammation in a joint, or you know, a muscle area, I definitely use that to to rub in that area. And so that's another...
You know, you hit on something there. That's one I see all the time with the beginning runners that I see is that runner's knee. And that's just, it's always bad mechanics or, you know, something really simple.
And right. It could be your shoes. It could be your, you know, I mean, anything can contribute to it. So, you know, I think just trying to find a way to, you know, train in a different way, different mechanics, you know.
Yeah, and basically,
if there is some muscle group that is tight, contracted, constricted, and shortened, you know, there could be a different stretching technique that would help.
Yeah.
You know.
But the value I can add there is I just say that you really got nothing to worry about there. That's just runner's knee because they think they're, you know, it's the first time they've experienced any pain or injury, and they think they think their leg's going to fall off.
Oh no, I need a surgery.
Very simple.
Right. Yeah.
And most of the common injuries we talked about, like the runner's knee, Achilles tendonitis, the hip
Performance
and the hamstring
syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean those are all treatable. There's no reason people have to stop what they're doing or go under the knife or any of that stuff.
Yeah, and you know that's one of the things that I swear I've talked to so many people that say, well, I'm going to go see a surgeon, and you know I've been having trouble with my knee, or, you know this plantar fasciitis. I think I'm going to go get that release. Well, that's such an invasive procedure. You're releasing the tissue there. You're cutting into it. There was a time, Chris, I don't know if you know, there are actually some surgeons that will still do this. They will release the piriformis. They will cut that muscle to reduce the pain. And then, yes, exactly. They cut most of the way through, so it's still connected. But it certainly, you know, compromised tremendously. And then they'll go through 10 weeks of PT, where my approach is, why don't we start with, you know, several weeks of trigger point work, massage work, soft tissue work. It's worth a try. Put that drastic surgery, put it off until you've exhausted everything else, because this, you know, the work that I do and a lot of other therapists out there who, you know, work with the deeper structures, this myofascial pain, the trigger point work, have found that you can really achieve a lot of great benefit from that and eliminate the need for these more drastic measures.
Yeah,
it's almost barbaric sometimes.
Yeah, that's just part of our culture. Everybody wants to go to surgery. Everybody wants to do drugs, and you don't need any of that. You know,
no.
I see a lot of people start. You know, they're at the point where they're eating 8 ibuprofen pills a day. It's the same thing. It's like if you have to mask the pain that much, then you should stop and think about it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Chris. And it would be wonderful if we could get people to consider some of these gentler approaches, even though, you know, the work that I do is certainly can be considered painful. It is certainly not the same as, you know, going under the knife or some of these other quick fixes.
Yeah.
Which aren't really quick, they're not really easy, they're expensive, it's downtime, it's out of work, it's, you know, work ahead, and then if you've exhausted everything else, certainly it's worth considering with the advice of your doctor.
Yeah, at the end of the day, typically it doesn't help the problem much either.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember I had one of my knee guy, I go down to Pro Sports in Waltham, and when I got in my car accident and smashed my patella tendon, or maybe it was when I rolled my ankle, one of those times, I said to the guy, I said, can't you just operate on it? And he said, no, I'm not going to. You know, it's the best thing he ever did to me.
Was that a while ago, Chris?
Yeah. And
several years ago?
A couple of years ago, anyhow. But, he basically said, listen, you know, you're a runner. I know you want to run, but you're going to have to take 3 months off. You know?
Was that difficult for you?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's real difficult because you got to fill that hole somehow, right? You got to find something else to do.
Right.
So that was actually when I started running, swimming and biking a lot. So it's
find another way to get your cardiovascular system worked out without the downside of.
Yeah, because otherwise you'll get depressed actually, because you stop getting that infusion of happy chemicals every day from your run.
Yeah, you're shutting off the flow of endorphins.
Right. So
right.
The black dog, as Winston Churchill would say. if you have open spots in your calendar, how do people get in touch with you to get on your table?
Well, I have a treatment space in the charming little town of Wilton, New Hampshire. I'm also available for outcalls, and as I said, I do events. My phone number, Chris, is 603-620-2825.
Okay.
And
in the great state of New Hampshire.
That's right. I'm just over there. I just live right here in Brookline, as you know, so I'm from Massachusetts, and that's kind of my stomping ground as well. But as I said, my treatment space is in Wilton, and it's very, you've been there, it's very restful, peaceful. It's a nice little escape, and it's right next to the candy store.
The candy store. The world's greatest candy store.
Nelson's Candy Store. Yes, amazing.
It's this candy store straight out of, like, 1958.
Oh, isn't it charming?
Candy jeans and
hand-dipped cherry cordials and homemade candy canes at Christmas. Yeah, it's really quite a gem.
It's amazing.
They're actually related. I don't know if you know this, Chris. They're related to the Nelson family from Chelmsford there that does the candy store right there on 110. Yeah.
Right.
So.
You got it. Well, you never have enough candy in your life.
Well, massage and a piece of chocolate. What could be better?
What's the craziest thing you've seen somebody come in on your table here? What's the most?
Well, the craziest thing I've seen, well, I will tell you a little story. I would put it more into the category of inspiring. The first time I went to the Boston Marathon a couple of years ago.
Was that 04?
Jeepers, what is it now? It might have been 04.
Was it the hot year?
It was very hot. You're right. Exactly.
Right, that was 04. That was
now,
04.
Yes. And so, you know, we watch the temperature almost as closely as the runners do, because we know what the temperature conditions, the weather conditions, what it can do to the athletes, and we want to have an idea of what to be prepared for. So the first runner came across into the hospitality suite and was ready for his massage, and he's a triathlete. He does Ironman competitions, and, you know, I think it was, well, at that time they started the race at 11.
Right.
And so it was, I think it was maybe 2 hours and 20 or 30 minutes after, you know, he was really quick. Anyway, and he was in great shape, you know. Well, the last person that came through that day, it was 7:30 at night.
Right.
And we're all, you know, we've been working all day as well, certainly energized by the mood and the spirit and the tremendous accomplishment of these athletes. Well, this woman was 45 years old, and she got on my table, started telling me her story as I worked on her, and she had quit smoking just 7 months earlier, had never run a marathon. She told herself she was going to do it, and she did it. And she was in pretty good shape. She had some trouble with her knees. She said she had to walk a lot, you know.
She did walk some.
She walked a lot, but she just fed off the crowds, you know. It was starting to get dark when she came, you know, dusk was on us, and she felt like a million bucks. And I really think that was, you know, from the first runner to the last, it was just amazing to see all the hard work, determination, the pain, the joy of the sport that these, you know, people have come to love so much. And, you know, I saw her again the next year, and I said, hey, you're still at it, good for you. And she was just doing great. She came in a little earlier, and she did really well. So I would call that just tremendously inspiring.
So what do you think about these runners? Why do you think they do it?
I think you're all crazy.
By the way, I did 30 miles. I ran 30 miles yesterday.
30?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Did you need a headlamp?
No.
I know. You're a lot quicker. But, yeah, why do you do it? I think that might call for an appointment with that other kind of therapist, Chris. I can't figure you guys out. I know why you do it, and it's what I just spoke of. It's that sense of accomplishment, and it's an addiction, basically, too. I think probably once you've been doing it for a period of time, you can't imagine life without it.
Exactly. But luckily it's a benign addiction.
It's healthy. It's a healthy addiction. Just keep taking care of yourself. Keep working on your areas that have your soreness, your trouble spots, your dysfunction. And, you know, you should be able to continue this. Like, what was his name? The runner that for the Boston that ran?
Johnny Kelly.
Oh, right. Exactly. Exactly. So,
Johnny Kelly the Younger?
Right. How old is... He was, what was his last 80 race?
80-something when he stopped, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
When he stopped. He was I was telling my buddy Dan that there was a guy that ran the Vermont 100 last week. He was 71 years old, and he beat the clock because they shut those down after 12 hours. He beat the clock.
And see, that's his accomplishment, you know. That's as...
Hours.
Yeah, important to him, and as in much of an accomplishment as the Ironman athlete that, you know, shaves the 30 seconds off or whatever.
Yeah, it's a personal thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I think we beat this to death. hey, look at that. We're at 40 minutes.
40? Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. I know,
well,
I kind of ramble a little, huh?
I'll have to split this in half.
Yeah. It might have to have us. Stay tuned for season two next
part
week.
Two, yeah.
You
part
can.
One, part two.
So, yeah, that wasn't bad, Chris. That was kind of fun. I think we covered everything, right?
Very useful. Very useful.
Good.
I think people shouldn't be afraid to treat themselves and not get crazy.
I mean, you know, I would love for everybody to come see me three times a week, but that's not going to happen, you know. So I just say, hey, you gotta work on these spots yourself, and you know, come to me periodically. We'll give you a little tune-up, but you should be able to handle it on your own.
Well, we'll have to slip in a session when I get up into my high mileage.
Sure.
I'm running an ultra marathon. I'm training for it.
Really? What does that mean?
50-mile race.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Nah, something new. It'll
wow.
be my first.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I ran 30 miles yesterday. And then I got back.
When is that, Chris?
The end of September. Up in Vermont.
In Vermont?
Yeah, up at Ascutney. I think it starts at Ascutney.
So, you know the date?
It's the 28th.
28th. Wow. Oh, it should be gorgeous.
Hey, you guys should drive up and crew for me.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I'll be there for you, Chris. I'll be at the finish line or
we'll
sooner
see.
If you need me.
Yeah, I have a feeling the last 20 miles are probably going to be a bit of a hassle based on my experience yesterday. But,
I was going to say, how did the 30-miler go? Could you have gone another 20? You feel like you could have? Or?
I could have, but I was running on fumes for my last 20K. It was... I didn't have a good day. It wasn't. You have rhythms, right? So you have good days and you have bad days. And the key to it is when you're having a bad day, just keep moving forward. You know, you just ignore it and find your pace and go. But I stuck myself in a nice ice bath afterwards, and I feel pretty good today. So.
Oh, good, good.
So
yeah, you should
go.
Get a tiger tail. Telling
a
you.
A tiger tail. It sounds
tiger tail.
I do.
Beat yourself with a tiger tail.
I have a stick. You know the stick.
Yeah.
It's like a tiger tail.
Yeah, those are good.
But I think if I just put a piece of foam around the stick, it would be the same thing.
Yeah, this it kind of rolls independently, though, you know, so it's got that kind of action to it.
Yeah. The thing I don't like about the stick is it pulls the hair out of my legs when I use it.
Ah, that could be a little uncomfortable. It takes your mind off the other stuff that hurts, though.
I haven't found it all that useful. I'd rather just free stretch.
So. All right, well, let me know when you want to turn on my table.
All right, thank you very much.
Have a good week.
One.
Bye, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, this is Chris. I got a good summertime tip for you. This one, you know, I carry a water bottle with me most of the time when I'm running. Even on short runs, I'll carry a water bottle with me just to give the dog a drink, just to give myself a drink, especially in the summertime. You know, it's good. Keep hydrated. But and there's other good reasons to carry a water bottle, too, but I always carry a water bottle. So in the summertime, though, you got to get it's nice to have cold water because it's kind of gross to drink hot water when you're running. So one of the things you can do is you can take your water bottle, if you know you're going out, and you can put a little bit of water in it, like a little bit less than a quarter of the bottle, and then throw it in the freezer so that freezes solid. And that'll be enough to keep the water chilled for your 5-mile, you know, for your hour run, whatever that is. But it won't be so much that the bottle will be freezing cold, because if you got to carry it in your hand and it's freezing cold, it's uncomfortable in the other direction. So just like a quarter of the bottle with ice, freeze it up, then you can put your water in on top of that, and that seems to be the right balance for me. So, you know, the ice melts about halfway through, keeps it kind of cool, but not, you know, not too much. All right, so that's my summer weather ice in the bottle tip for you guys. So I will see you out on the trails and the roads, and smile at me. Give me a wink when you go by. There you go. Easy as pie, episode 12 in the can. So anyhow, got two tunes for you again, because we're running a little bit early. I'm being very efficient in my podcasting. The first one is called Speed Baby, again with our speed topic, search phrase. And this is by The Gentleman. And the second one is Whiskey Bar by Soul Driver. Actually, I think Whiskey Bar is first and Speed Baby second. But I like Whiskey Bar because there sounds a little bit like an old Doors tune, showing my age there. So next thing you can do is you can go check out my website at runrunlive.com. Look at the blog. Look at the forum. I think I opened up security so you can comment on the blogs, writing some stuff over there. And check out some of the other podcasts out there. There's some pretty hilarious podcasts. I think there's as many starving podcasters as there are starving artists on the PodSafe Music Network. So go over to PodSafe Music Network. Check out these artists. Give them the 99 cents, buy their tunes, keep them alive for another couple weeks, keep them in cans of tuna and ramen, and away we go. We'll see you next week.
To hurt and harm. what's all you do?